Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Broadcast network AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to the eighth week of the fourth season of Showtime's original series, Homeland. This episode is entitled Halfway to a Donut. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is...
It's me, Nanda Velasquez. How you guys doing? we're missing two. We're missing two.
We're missing Lexi Hammersfar and Danny Hoyt. They're flying the friendly skies right now on their way back.
On different flights, but they're both stuck. I guess it's the holidays.
Close to the holidays. They're just busy people. They got a lot going on.
Yeah, we got no lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're doing it big. Whatever. TV. Anyway, this was a really good episode. It seems like it's one of those.
That's an understatement. Well, I thought this was phenomenal.
Yeah,
it was a great episode.
It was great. It was really actually great for something transitional as well. Like, it was a transitional episode, but it was really good for our transitional episode because there's obviously a lot of bigger things coming in the next week or two.
Well, first of all, I think it's hilarious that the name of this episode is Halfway to a Donut, because it sounds like such a, like, a boring title. It sounds like such a, I don't even know exactly what they're referring to. The only thing I could think of is maybe when Tasneem and Dennis are, like, at the little table trying to get their own snacks. But maybe because that was such a little, you know, a nice central scene because of the reveal at the end.
Right.
Halfway to a Donut, or maybe Halfway to a Donut is like doing, I don't know, like doing a 180. I don't know. I'm trying to, if anyone has any ideas, I know we spent time on Redux last week. That was an easier one to figure out.
I don't know. Does it have something to do with Saul? Because Saul ended up right back where he started instead of.
But that's not halfway to a donut, is it? But I guess it kind of is. I don't know.
Donut? I don't know.
If anyone has an idea. But this episode, I mean, this is... since the first scene... from the first episode this season when Sandy was in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel that way since then. You know, there's a lot of action, a lot of suspense, some really good, you know, jump at your seats moments. I mean, there were so many times I thought Saul was gone. I thought he was gone this episode. I was like, no freaking way. Yeah.
I actually, there was a couple of times I did tell him, like, is his contract up or?
Yeah, I know, because we're living in LA. So we're thinking, is his contract up? Was he not able to renegotiate? Because it's like, who would want to lose Saul?
You don't want to lose Saul.
I would rather lose Carrie than Saul. I hate to say that, but I would rather lose Carrie than Saul, because I feel like you could always get someone else to replace Carrie. But I feel like Saul is just too.
There's no way you can get somebody else to replace Carrie on this show.
No, but there's no way you can get anyone to replace Saul on this show either. I don't know. I'd almost rather have Saul than Carrie. I hate to say that. I love Carrie. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like you could always have another protege come up that's flawed and has their own issues.
That's true. Saul, if they take that angle on it, they could.
But Saul, you can't really have. I mean, look at who Saul's successor is. It's Lockhart. It's a totally different character.
Right.
You know,
different storyline and everything.
But anyway.
Well, you know, one thing I loved to see was that when Saul, you know, when he faked his hanging. Yeah. In the cell.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because that to me was like, I'm like, this guy is a real spy. He's a real agent. He's digging in the crates and pulling out some old shenanigans and he's like putting it to work. It was so funny how he spit on the guy after
it looked like I replayed that a couple of times. I was watching it on my computer screen because I was watching, advanced screener, and it looked like a kind of like a spit. I wasn't sure if it was a spit. It was just a weird cut. It looked like, It felt like a spit, but it doesn't make sense to me that he spit on him for some reason.
I think he spit on him.
I'm not sure you saw it on the big screen. I saw it on a small screen, but I replayed it a couple of times because I said, did he really spit on him? I thought that was just a weird.
Yeah, he spit on him.
Really?
Is if you thought that and you rewound it a couple of times to watch and see, he spit on him.
All right. I mean, I'm not sure, but I'll take your word for it. I kind of thought so, but after I played it like the third time, I'm like, no, he didn't. It was just cut at a weird spot when he was doing something that looked like spitting. But
it makes sense, and it's consistent with his views of them.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know,
think he's disgusted by them.
He is definitely disgusted by them.
I don't know.
I mean, he told Carrie, like, he told Carrie to get off comms, make sure it's just her and him.
If that was
take a promise.
If that was Akani, I could see him spitting on him. I don't know if he could
spit on
the guard.
But they all represent the same, they all represent the same faction.
All right, I'm probably talking on my ass. Okay, all right, fine.
He spit on him.
Okay.
I don't know. You guys will tell us in.
You know what? If you saw that.
In the cybersphere, what you guys think, but.
Yeah, trust me, they will say stuff on the cybersphere. If you saw that, and I thought I saw it, even though I replayed it, and then I had a chance to say it probably was. So, anyway, but I mean, if you think about it, I mean, first of all, just seeing that video with the flag in the background, you know, that's so reminiscent of a beheading.
Yeah,
I mean, so even seeing that to me like elicits a reaction. Seeing that,
and then seeing
the nails when he first notices those nails, which are kind of dangerous, just hanging out like
just
that,
just sitting like in the middle of the floor.
So I thought he was going to use the nails to kill himself actually at first,
really?
But then we see him use it to actually unshackle the handcuffs.
Yeah, I figured that's what he was going to use them for.
And then you're like, oh, so he's not trying to kill himself. And then next scene, he's hanging himself, and you're like, oh my god, he's going to kill himself again.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he faked it. He somehow persevered past that, and it was a ploy to get the guard in.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like a lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
And then of course him, the promise that he made Carrie say and all that. It was just like, I kept thinking like, oh, I think he's a goner this episode. I hate to say it.
Right.
That's, I love this kind of TV. This is awesome.
It's so interesting also how Carrie was willing to kill him at first when Quinn was not willing to allow it to happen.
Yeah.
Now she wants to save him, and he wants to kill himself.
Well, in the spur of the moment, gut reaction, she's
was
going
like, take
for,
him out. That's
she's
our
going
goal.
For Akani.
Right.
But now she had time to think about it, and now here she is, and...
Well, they've convened and had meetings on
well,
saving
meetings,
this guy
and
figuring out what they're going to do.
And there's Lockhart. I mean, we could definitely get into that. I mean, it's really interesting, the fact that, you know, he made her promise. And, you know, Quinn even mentioned it later on when she admitted what Saul told her.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn said, that's what you always said Saul would say. Saul would say he'd rather die first.
Right.
And
because he knows what's at stake. He doesn't want to allow hit all. That's almost kind of like his life's work.
Yeah.
Like part of what he's invested into CIA, you know, and all of it's going to go down the drain all because he got caught.
Well, I think, you know, there's something there. Last week's show was so weird that we had on here. And I don't feel like we had a fair shake on talking about, because I still am confused in a way as to why Lockhart, I mean, I think I got a clue this episode a little bit, but why Lockhart really wants to keep Saul alive, why it's in the government's best interest to keep Saul, to get Saul back, even if it means getting, you know, giving Haqqani all these people. They said he'd have control from here to Kabul or something like that, you know, from Islamabad to Kabul. And why it wouldn't be a smarter play to just let Saul die or let Saul kill himself or whatever it is.
Well, when, you know, when Carrie had that meeting, when she became, and she got her whereabouts or whatever about her, and she left Khan's house, and she had that meeting with Quinn and Lockhart in that small room, and she, you know, realized that there was a breach, her pills had been switched out, and Lockhart actually expressed with conviction that he would not have his predecessor.
Well, that was the
beheaded
line
on a spike.
That,
I was like,
that made sense to me.
Is he really? But what's his, like? Is it just for principle?
Well, I think what it is. Here's what I think.
Political? Like, what is it?
I think it's a little bit of both. But I think what it is it sets a precedent that if, you know, it's kind of like the same thing. You know what? It's kind of like the same thing with the police and a cop killer. You know, like nobody kills a cop. You know, if someone goes to kill a cop, that person is pretty much, they've just signed their own tombstone, you know, because that's the one thing that you do not do, because the last thing they want to do is set a precedent in the streets. I'm talking about like police out here.
I understand.
They
want to
set a precedent out here where people feel like the police are people you can kill. So I think it's the same thing here. They don't want to set a precedent where the Taliban or Haqqani or whoever it is can just kidnap, you know, any U.S. official.
CIA
exactly.
Director.
Because then all bets are off. They need to show strength that everyone, even former directors.
Right.
You know, are.
It's like former presidents.
Yeah,
or
it's like a
whatever,
former president.
Whoever is somebody who's in high position or high standing.
Exactly.
High status.
If it was Clinton, if it was like Bill Clinton being, kidnapped for something, I would assume that the government would do the bet. They couldn't just say, well, you know, he knows the rules. He might as well, you know, accept defeat and kill himself. No, they want to save him because, again, it sets a precedent on the president or any other official.
That goes back to publicity and PR and how things look and how they're perceived.
Yeah,
that's part of the war.
Of course.
That's a huge weapon in America's or the U.S.'s favor.
Yeah.
That they have this media power that actually molds the perceptions of the populace of the world, pretty much.
Well, don't mess with us type of mentality.
Right.
But, you know, it wasn't as apparent to me, I think maybe because of Lockhart's relationship with Saul last season, even though they kind of had some closure and they kind of got, they both got what they wanted.
Yeah.
It still was, to me, I just found it real, especially the way Lockhart is. I mean, some people seem to like him. He seemed to definitely appeal to me more this episode, the way he was a little more, you know, reserved and patient. And ambassador Martha was telling him to be, you know, those three T's. I wrote them down somewhere. I can't remember. Transparent and,
there were three T's. I can't remember.
Yeah. It was transparent. And then there was another two, and one of them he didn't even know, but, which I thought was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, I ended up liking Lockhart a little bit more, but I kind of understand now why I understand more as to why they really want to keep Saul alive. But still, Carrie had an out, you know, or at least the government had an out, you know. I think they could have gotten them in that rescue attempt. There was no way they can get at him.
You know what sucks for Lockhart is that he knows that their government is working with Haqqani. At least there is sub-factions in their government.
Well, I loved when he said, looking over your list, and then the prime minister was like, that's not our list. That's Haqqani's, Taliban's list.
Right.
He got offended. And I wonder if Lockhart said that on purpose or if that was just a little slip up, but it was an awesome moment.
But they already made it clear that as far as they're concerned, how do we know that you're not working with them? As far as we're concerned, okay, you guys have an open line of communication, and there's no way you can prove to us that you guys are not or do not have some level of involvement with this. So as far as we're concerned, we're going to treat this like you guys have kidnapped Saul and you guys are holding Saul.
Yeah, I think,
and he made that clear.
He made it clear last week.
Right. He made that clear. And that's where their head is at. Although the ambassador doesn't feel that way, she's being way more political in this situation than Lockhart, obviously, because she's been there for a while and she's developed relationships. But I feel like the situation needs a Lockhart.
Well, I think, you know, somebody on the YouTube comments mentioned good cop, bad cop. And I think maybe that's kind of like what this is, except for the fact that the bad cop didn't bother telling the good cop about the plan, you know, from last week at least. And now we see that, for whatever reasons, whatever perceptions I had last week, we see that Lockhart is willing to play ball with Martha, with the ambassador. So, you know, and have her take control, even though, you know, they're going to push his buttons, and they obviously are. And there's some, you know, we saw there's a lot. It's just an amazing scene that they have this little boring tactical meeting to talk about the prisoner list. Meanwhile, all this action's happening in the background. I mean, there was so much to love about this episode. I mean, I feel like we're kind of scattered around right now, but it's just to see that. And I think that's diplomacy at work. It's like, okay, look, you know, and that's what the Pakistanis are doing. They're like, okay, we'll play nice with you, but maybe not the prime minister, but at least Tasneem and who knows who else are busy doing this hunt, you know, the hunt for Saul, while all this little boring stuff's happening in the background. And then on the other end, you see Carrie and Lockhart leave because they realize there's something's up. And you just see the ambassadors playing with the prime minister and Tasneem. And that one moment when Tasneem gets that text in Arabic, which is probably like everything's, you know, I couldn't read it, but probably like everything's under control. And, and the ambassador's like, maybe we should take a break. And she's like, no, no, we're good. We can hang. Cause she was just in control the whole episode.
Yeah, exactly. So she knows what's going on. And, it, you know, obviously now, just what we suspected from before about Officer Khan, he's not actually on the same team or part of whatever. I think some things are obviously going to be revealed about Tasneem, as we see in coming episodes or whatever. But it's almost obvious that she's she is more of a on the
fringes. No, not fringes.
I think she's just a mole. I mean,
with Tasneem?
Yeah.
Oh, mole for them.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I'm still a little curious about the whole thing with, Khan, with Asar and Tasneem, because, you know, obviously.
I don't think they're working together.
They're not working together, but I'm just still wondering how much information, you know, Asar actually has on the whole thing, because, you know, when they had that little, they bumped into each other right before the meeting started when he was running late. You know, and Tasneem was like, you know, why'd you interfere? You know, it almost felt like he knew about the plot, a little bit. The way she said it, why did you interfere?
Yeah.
You know, because she was even like, she could have been, Carrie could have been on a plane by now. So I don't know, exactly if he's completely innocent in all of this, but and then I'm wondering what his motives are, and I'm wondering what his motives are, because we definitely, especially from the end of last week's episode, we're definitely seeing a little bit of a connection between him and Carrie right now, and a possible love interest. And I know even I think somebody even put it up on I think somebody put it up on YouTube as well. I can see that possibly. Look, Carrie gets involved with the wrong people all the time. I could see this one happening.
I unfortunately saw something as well, and I'm hoping that that's why I didn't mention it, because I'm just hoping that nothing occurs out of this, because she just finished with Ayan, for crying out loud.
But that's also why I'm wondering, I think I'm wondering why, you have to understand, why did he give Carrie that information about Dennis Boyd? Why did he do that?
We did witness him notice an exchange between.
I know.
So that's what also makes would make us think that, okay.
But why is he throwing his own person under the bus? Why is he throwing his own agency?
Did he just out Boyd? I don't think he remember. I don't think he mentioned Tasneem.
Well, first of all, he outed Boyd, but obviously that's going to mess up Tasneem's plans, because she's using him as the breach, as the mole.
Well, we're going to find out more next week, obviously.
Here's the thing. Okay, if you work for a company and somebody is doing something, you know, duplicitous, you know, whatever, and you're aware of it, you know, chances are, and you're in charge. I mean, what's his title? They finally said his title, because I put it on here somewhere, but he's like ISI director. Forgive me, I'll find it. But anyway, ISI counterterrorism chief. So that's a pretty big title.
Yeah, it is.
Right? You figure he has some control.
Yeah.
So if he's noticing something funny going on with Tasneem and, you know, and Dennis, and he thinks it's undermining even the Pakistanis' relationship with the U.S., don't you think he would try and get her legitimately through his own channels?
Well, maybe that's what's going to happen next week, because obviously he met with, the weeks to come.
Yeah.
Because when he met with Carrie on that final scene. You know, he told her.
I think he's throwing Tasneem under the bus or messing up her things, but I'm still wondering what his intentions are for. I really feel like there's more, it's a little more complicated than I just want to help you, Carrie. Either I'm interested in you, Carrie, or Tasneem's kind of like in his way.
I'm interested in you, Carrie.
Or I'm just trying to get rid of Tasneem because he doesn't like Tasneem either, but he can't officially do it because, you know, because again, we don't know how deep. We don't know exactly if Tasneem's working on her own or how many people on the Pakistani side really are part of this agenda.
Well, him actually outing Boyd to Carrie will give Carrie, that's obviously enough information for them to act on their side and keep him insulated far enough away where it doesn't leave any traces to Tasneem and everybody else she's working with on the Pakistani side.
Yeah.
So when things start to implode for them on that side, he'll already be a step ahead because he already will know what's going on. So he obviously has an agenda, and I think it has way more to do with him being interested in Carrie like that.
Well,
that
I
doesn't mean he doesn't want to hook up with her.
I think he
definitely has an agenda of what's going on. I'm sure it'll be revealed. I hope it's just not out of the goodness and kindness of his heart, because that would just be really boring for TV. But I think he has an agenda. I'm hoping that he has one.
Yeah, well, I think it's yet to be revealed. It's more than just, I like you, here's some information. I know that, but again,
maybe he's the one that was working with Sandy.
No, we already know who was working with Sandy.
Who was working with Sandy again?
Tasmin was working with Sandy.
Did they make that clear?
Yeah.
That it was her?
Sandy and Dennis were working together, and then Tasmin, when she went to meet Dennis at the college, she said that they had a relationship. She had a relationship with Sandy.
Okay, so then I'm really curious about what Khan's angle is, because he has
an
angle.
Well, that's why. But I don't know what his angle is either, but I don't know if it's internally, trying to mess around trying to mess up Tasmin.
Yeah.
Trying to put his own foothold in, or try and take control on his own, or if he's really legitimately has a heart all of a sudden and just cares about Carrie. I just feel like, politically speaking, I feel like there's got to be more than just, I feel sorry for this woman.
Right.
I feel like it's a lot more than that. I mean, they had that moment at the end of last week's episode, even though Carrie was in the middle of her episode, herself.
Yeah.
And, she even admitted she remembered.
Right.
they had this rendezvous out in the rain at the very end.
Right.
It just feels very
romantic.
In a way. Come on, you see it. You see it.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
Whether you want to or not, you do see it.
I don't want
to. So, I know you don't want to. Hey, you know what? Much better him than a college student. Okay.
Is it just me? Right. I know, right? Is it just me or I don't know about people that watch the show as well, feel like the ambassador is like clueless to a certain degree? I'm starting to look at her like her head is in the clouds and she's looking at the state of affairs like it's totally.
I wouldn't call it clueless. I mean,
not what it is. Like, what do you think
it's
is
not
going
her,
on?
It's not her job to be, an intelligence agent. So she's only dealing
but
with
she
what
knows
she
what's
has.
Going on.
Well, she does, but I think her role is diplomacy. I mean, her role this episode was, let me stall. Her role was, let me put on a good face. Let me put on a good face with the U.S. Let's look like things are going as planned, even though we have people working in the background to rescue Saul at this point, To extradite him, to get him, I don't know if extradite's the right word, but to get him back, to rescue
extract him.
Extract him.
Extraction.
Thank you, Sean. Sean, our producer, who's there for my English.
vocab
coach. He's my vocab coach.
All right.
So, I mean, I don't think she's clueless. I think she's very, very smart. I think she shows that she's smart, but her strengths are very different. I mean, there was that great scene with her and Lockhart, saying that it's her job to, Lockhart saying it's your job to save face. He goes, well, it's my job to find the common ground. And then Lockhart says, well, they hate our guts. How's that for, for common ground?
Right.
Yeah. So,
they do.
Yeah. And they do.
Or maybe they just hate his guts. Everything seemed like it was copacetic until he showed up. And then, but everything there was stuff going
he's
on.
He's a good reason.
Covertly.
He's a good reason for people to hate.
Right. And it was so funny how she told her husband that he needs to stay close and stay safe. There's been a breach.
Well,
blah, blah, blah.
I mean, again, it's just, the way this episode's written is just so well. I mean, Carrie obviously only trusting Lockhart and Quinn, and then Lockhart wanting to bring the ambassador in on it, and deep inside we're like, no, because she's going to tell her husband,
right?
And Carrie saying no, and then finally the ambassador gets to find out, and of course she goes and tells Dennis, and it's just, again, just so much back and forth. It's like there were so many moments where I was like, I almost went ghetto on the screen. I think it was pretty damn cool.
Do you think
she liked it?
Do you think that the Americans overestimate their ability and power
absolutely.
And blah, blah, blah and everything?
Based on this episode, absolutely.
Especially with
the
thwarted rescue attempt of Saul.
It's something really interesting that I think is very apparent. I know that people listen to us internationally. So yeah. I think as Americans, we don't think about it as much. Mm-hmm. But I think in certain countries, especially certain countries that have dealt with war and dealt with a lot of conflict, that they're more comfortable.
Right.
You know, like in the U.S., you know, it's so easy to turn on Fox News and get scared over the slightest little alert.
Right.
You know, but like in places like the Middle East, this is what they have to deal with every single day. I mean, the U.S. just in this episode, right, they just figured, all right, let's just put a drone out there and just follow Saul. And meanwhile, the Taliban are thinking, oh, cool, we know where Saul is now. Thanks for flashing that. You know, they look at that little itty-bitty drone, and they look at it like a big flashing signal saying he's over here.
Right, exactly.
He's over here. And so the whole time, like, you know, and us, me watching as an American who probably doesn't know any better, is thinking, oh, great, they're getting a drone. Oh, good, they're getting special forces over there. You know, we're thinking, oh, wow, we're in control again.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the Taliban are like, great, they
thank
they,
you.
Thank you. It's kind of like that scene. It's kind of like Die Hard, the movie Die Hard, when the FBI agents come in to try and save the day, and they do all the protocol, and then you find out that Hans Gruber said all along, oh, I was just waiting for the FBI to come, because
right.
I know exactly every single move they're going to make, and I know what to do once they make those moves. I'm waiting for them to show up. It was almost the same thing. It was like Saul's on the loose. We have no idea where to find him. Oh, he contacted the U.S. We know where he is now because there's a drone over his head.
Right.
So I think, you know, that's really interesting.
And Carrie being the drone queen, I think it's interesting that she didn't think. I mean, there's been scenes where there was somebody who actually, it was like Haqqani, I think, and one or two other people actually looked up in the sky.
Well, Ayan is the big one. I mean, his first scene and his last scene pretty much is him looking up at a drone straight in the sky.
Right.
So they're familiar with it. And
so it's not like you didn't think about this before. Like, how do you think they're obviously going to look for Saul. They're going to realize he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then how are you going to keep track of Saul?
Yeah.
They're going to find where the drone is, and then they're going to find out where he's at based on where you put the drone.
Well, I mean, it sounds, I mean, I don't know the feasibility of it. I have never really spotted a drone up from the, I don't know if they're shooting at us right now or whatever, but I haven't really spotted a drone like that unless they're the leisurely ones that people seem to buy around LA and have every now and then. So I don't know how easy they might be to spot, but apparently the Taliban are so used to live, especially out in the Middle East, out in these countries, the U.S. have been flying drones so much that in these countries they're so used to drones that they're probably very easily spottable now, especially if you don't want to be caught doing something. You just look up, you hunt for a drone, you're like, okay, there's one on me, and you don't do it. You know, I mean, Haqqani, like you said, Haqqani even said it. There's a drone over me right now. He doesn't have to look up. He's like, there's a drone above me right now.
Mm-hmm.
He looks down and he sees a shadow.
Is that what it was?
No, I was just...
Oh, yeah, and see the shadow. It was a joke. Oh, okay. All right, stick to vocab.
Poorly played.
It's good. It's possible I missed the shadow. But, yeah, I mean, I think it says a lot for, you know, what we don't know about like, war or about, you know, what we have to go through out in the field. I'm actually surprised in a way. I wonder in a way if in real life, like, the FBI are aware of that. That drones aren't just easy, like, yeah, let's just put a drone on them, you know, if they realize they have to account for other tactics.
Right.
Like, I guess if the U.S. knew the Taliban was spotting a drone, they'd probably send, like, 3 or 4 drones out to different locations and spread the Taliban out, or the same thing with special forces, you know?
Right.
But they didn't think that way.
How do you feel, and I want to know how you guys feel about this as well out there.
Excuse me.
Because I know there's a lot of mixed feelings and mixed reactions about Saul leading, or Carrie leading Saul right back into the arms of the Taliban.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Saul was, he was livid. You know, he was at the brink of, he was about to blow his brains out because he was like, I will not go back to these people. Plus, as far as he's concerned, his life isn't worth the trade that they're about to make.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was like, and plus he made Carrie a promise, or Carrie made him a promise. He made Carrie make him a promise that she wouldn't do that.
Well,
and of course, she breaks the promise.
That's
so, do you
huge.
Think this? I think one of the questions is: do you feel like it's selfish? Because at the end of the day, if she's doing that for her own, like, I need Saul, I want Saul, kind of thing, as opposed to, I think anybody else, I think Lockhart would have just let him.
I don't think,
kill himself.
I don't think it was selfish necessarily for her, but I do think, you know, obviously it was a really big scene when Saul asked her, you know, to talk just one-on-one with nobody else listening, and he made her promise. you know, and he said the things that he said about, I will not go back there at all, you know.
But it's just interesting because she was willing to blow him up.
Said she was.
You're right. You know, she was like, pull that goddamn trigger. Like, shoot him. Like, she was willing to, you know, sacrifice his life.
Yeah.
When Ayan got shot by Haqqani.
Yeah.
Well, but again, now it's, what's different?
That was a spur of the moment.
Now there's higher stakes.
Well, I don't know if there's higher stakes. I guess there's higher
stakes.
There
are, because now they're, now they're negotiating this trade with five leaders that would actually change the game and not in our favor for the Americans.
Well, I mean, this is a very, look, first of all, we haven't really explored this relationship in this way in a while between Carrie and Saul since, you know, the first couple of seasons at least. You know, we haven't really seen this mentor protege, like, you know, even like his wife was like, oh yeah, it's Carrie. It's almost like his other girlfriend. You know, we haven't explored this, the extent of this relationship. And yeah, I know you can compare it to that moment when she was going to bomb Haqqani with Saul there. Spur of the moment, you know, like her eye, tunnel vision, her eyes on that prize.
Right.
And even knowing that Saul would have said the same thing. But at the end, this is his mentor. And, you know, if she can get him out, she'll do everything in her power to get him out. She, you know, here he is giving up. Here he is saying, I will not be a pawn. And here she is. I mean, she even said when she finally let him back to the Taliban, she's like, we're going to thread the needle, but I will get you out of there. I'm in the control room. I will get you out of there.
Does she think at that time, keeping him alive is what's going to really get him out of there, and they're going to have some kind of other plan?
I think she...
He can be alive. That doesn't mean he won't get tortured, you know?
Well, don't forget, Lockhart said if he gets hurt, the deal's off. So I would like to
think
that...
Was it? Or was it just proof of life? Because he said the president just wanted proof
of
life.
No, he did. Yeah, they said that later on in the, in that little, like, meeting where they were stalling and everything. But before that, he told the Pakistanis, if he's hurt at all, deal's off. He said that at the very beginning. He said that very early on in this episode.
Mm.
I still think that Carrie believes she can get him out. She doesn't know how. I don't think she was lying to him when she said... I mean, she was lying to him when she said they're waiting for you at the rendezvous point. But I don't think she was lying to him when she said, I'm in the ops room. We will thread the needle, but you need to do exactly as I say. I think she still believes in some kind of way that this can be salvaged. She doesn't know how, but she is willing to risk having him captured again and risk this whole thing going down the way it shouldn't be going down. She has a little more faith in that than Saul.
I'll be totally honest with you. I really loved seeing Saul in some action.
Yeah.
I don't want to say Carrie's not involved in any action, because Carrie is. She's involved in action, but I just felt like Saul's action was just more spy-like.
Well, here's an interesting question.
I enjoyed watching it. Like,
yeah. Well, first of all, we see the roles reversed.
Right.
As far as Carrie, you know, in previous seasons has been the one on the field.
Right.
And Saul's been the one calling the shots from the control room, from the comm room, and telling her where to go, for example, or having his people tell her where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are seeing the opposite, and the stakes are obviously much higher. Saul's life is definitely, in danger, you know, and a lot more than that. So, you know, it almost makes me wonder if the roles were reversed. Do you think Saul would pull the trigger on Carrie if the roles were reversed and Saul was back in the comm room and Carrie was the one that was being chased down by the Taliban for the trade?
That's a good question.
Because I think...
Let us know what you guys think about that. I'm not sure.
You're not sure? Well, what's your gut? Do you think Saul would pull the trigger and have her killed, or have her kill herself, or whatever it is?
You mean back when Ayan was killed?
No. I'm talking about this same scene... The same scene that we're seeing right now, but what if it was Carrie on the run? You think that Saul would not pull the trigger? Or do you think he would pull the trigger on Carrie?
I think he would not.
Yeah.
I think he would not pull the trigger on
Carrie. I kind of feel like he wouldn't either. As much of a military man as he is,
yeah,
I think that relationship is still strong.
I think he would figure a way to, in his mind, to get her out.
And I think Carrie would have the same reaction if she got caught. She'd be cursing Saul to hell. That was a pretty big moment too. Like,
you could hear him, like, where's the phone at? Is he still holding the phone?
He's yelling so damn hard. It doesn't matter where the phone is.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
he
shit.
Is cursing the hell out of her.
Like, oh, wow. And he's going to be mad for a while.
And this is a woman who's haunted already, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she was just dealing with her inner demons last episode when she had that vision of Brody, you know, about letting him die. So I think that also is one of the reasons why Carrie is not pulling the trigger now, even though she was ready to do it 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Is because she had that revelation with that scene with Brody.
She lost Brody. She lost Sanya. Yeah. She's not going to.
That scene with Brody.
She's not going to green light Saul off himself. Yeah. She's not going to do that.
No, that scene with Brody was a big scene. I said that last week, and I think it was a big scene because it really was like an aha moment for her.
Right.
As far as she got to realize, like, oh my, you know, like all this pent up emotion, all this pent up anger and energy that she had over Brody.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of made her switch a bit too. So again, I think this is my favorite episode this season.
Really?
I really think this is my favorite episode this season so far.
Okay.
Yeah. Just for all the reasons we listed and probably five more I can't even think of right now, but so many awesome reasons. You know, and then Tasmin, let's talk about her a little bit because I think she was just so cool and calm and collected this whole episode. I hated her.
Well, she's in the driver's seat.
I know.
She has a reason to be calm and cool and collected. So
yeah. I mean, she was, holy crap. I mean, when she, like I said that scene already, but when she was just hanging out, you know, checking out her phone.
Yeah.
And then just say, no, we could stay, we could hang. That was like, I got this under control.
Right.
I mean, even seeing in the meeting when Carrie was in the meeting and noticed that nobody in the Pakistanis, that no one had any inkling of feeling uncomfortable.
Right. They
didn't
worry. They weren't worried. Even Carrie was like, why aren't they worried?
Yeah,
they
she worried. Wrote that. And yeah, again, it was such a really amazing, amazing scene.
But there's more evidence. That's more evidence right there that the Pakistanis are actually working.
Well, no, it doesn't mean that necessarily because it just means they don't know that Saul escaped.
I mean, even as a panel.
Yeah.
She's saying, why aren't they worried?
Because the ones who did
just,
know.
It wasn't just based on Tasneem.
Well, because, you know
them
what?
As a group.
It's all information.
It seemed like to be just a little bit relaxed. Yeah. Like,
you mean it relaxes in like they're
not really worried. So maybe they all knew.
You're confusing me. The people who knew, the people
not
who
just Tasneem, I'm saying.
No, I get this. What I'm trying to tell you is if they don't release information that Saul escaped, there's no reason to worry. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, why are you going to worry about it?
Right, of course.
So that's pretty much what the Taliban did. The Taliban didn't release any information about Saul escaping to anybody other than their own people, but even amongst their own people, they had a plan to capture him back. So that's why Tasmin had no problems, because she felt they were under control.
Right.
And then let's say the prime minister has no idea about Saul escaping. He has no reason to be worried because he's completely ignorant to the possibility of Saul having escaped. He's completely oblivious to.
But here's the thing. I think there was some level of urgency based on the situation from them before. Because Lockhart had threatened them. And they don't know what's going on with the situation. So.
No, I didn't see that.
Why are they. I'm just trying to see from Carrie's perspective what she was talking about. Like, why are they not worried? They don't seem worried anymore. So it was like they were kind of anxious before.
Well,
based on what was going on, because there's a lot at stake.
I think we're looking too far into it. I just think that, you know, she obviously doesn't know who is on, you know, in this cover up.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't know who's involved with Haqqani, but she just noticed that if everybody seems to be okay and there's no one fidgeting, that there's just something wrong.
Right.
And I think it's just her instincts going into full effect. And I think, you know, she's really good. But there is one thing I want to bring up before, because I know we're wrapping up really soon, and I think we've gotten just about everything. We still don't know exactly what the message was that Tasmin gave to Dennis in that napkin, because we haven't really seen Dennis after that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Dennis was nervous about the breach, so he wanted out when he had that little conversation with Tasmin, but she said she wanted another favor, and she handed him that napkin. And that was, of course, when Asar saw Dennis take the napkin, and he realized that he was the breach.
But we haven't seen him since then.
We haven't seen him do anything since then.
Okay. So,
so as far as we're concerned, everything that was happening with Saul had nothing to do with Dennis. So, had nothing to do with Boyd at all. So whatever it is, Boyd, either he's doing it or has done it or is about to do it. And I think it also just leads to, you know, how are they going to deal with this breach now? You know, it's probably a sensitive subject. Are they going to try and manipulate this fact to get more, to get back on top? Are they going to maybe give him some misinformation, or are they just going to, you know, arrest him, or what are they going to do? Because there's a lot of ways they could probably go with Boyd.
Misinformation.
Yeah.
That's the best way.
I would think that would be the spy way to do it.
Yeah, that's the best way. And then they'll have evidence because they'll have to tell the ambassador this is what happened.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of possibilities.
Set him up. They could set him up easily, though, because he's a putz. It'd be easy to set him up.
I would think. Yeah, the way he's acting, yeah, he's a putz.
The plagiarist.
He's just lucky.
The plagiarist professor.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so let's go to predictions for next week.
Yeah. It's very low, Sean. It's very low. Okay. I think we're having some technical difficulties. Our audio for our bumper was really, really low.
Well, we can see for next week that there's obviously a trade coming into effect with these five.
Yes, spoilers, by the way, for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For these five leaders.
For the prisoner list that that the U.S. is gathering for Haqqani, definitely a big standoff. What we didn't see in scenes for next week was anything with Dennis in it. So you know, which surprises me considering that was the big reveal at the very end of the episode.
Well, we'll probably still see something with him, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, again, I mean, I think the question is to what extent are they just going to arrest him, or are they going to use him in some kind of way? You know, obviously, if they arrest him, hopefully he'll blurt out about Tasmin, so then they'll know it's Tasmin. That's the
they'll do the same thing that they did with they'll do the same thing they did with with Brody. He'll become a double agent.
Dennis will be a lame double agent.
He would be lame.
He'd be a lame double agent.
So they'll have
agent.
To enact him to make him extract from them when they already think that, you know, he's working for them. So that's probably what they'll do with him.
I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say the reason why we don't see Dennis is because somehow he is going to die. I think he's going to be gone. I think we've kind of predicted that in the past, but I just feel like for somehow it can't be all that easy. They can't just use him. I think Dennis is going to find an untimely death.
Okay.
At the hands of Tasmin, most likely, if she can get her hands on Dennis before anybody else.
So you think that Boyd will die? I think that they'll turn him into a double.
Okay, fair
enough.
I think
they'll turn him into a double. I think he'll probably still eventually die.
Yeah.
But I think they'll turn him into a double and use him first.
What do you think about Asar? Any predictions about Asar?
I think there's gonna be some. I'm hoping, I got both fingers crossed, that this isn't all about him having some romantic interest in Carrie, that he has his own political, professional agenda.
I hope it's not just about that either, but I'm sure it's more than that.
I mean, I want it to be more about that than be about Carrie, because, I mean, that's too much bed hopping for Carrie, for as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
She needs to be trying to get back to her baby in America.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious. Kid. We haven't heard anything about that in a long time. They've been a little busy, though.
Yeah, but those are my predictions. So that's my main prediction, I guess.
All right, cool.
So where can they find you until next week?
Well, you can find me here on other AfterBuzz shows like The Walking Dead, which I'm actually doing right after this, Scorpion, and Blacklist is actually on hiatus till February. But you can find me there, or you can find me on Twitter at Nandovel, Nandovel. Also, Danny Hoyt and Lexi Hammersfar, who aren't here right now. You can find them on Twitter at Danny Hoyt and at Lexi Hammersfar. It's HAMMESFAHR.
And you can find me on all social media at Club Thaddeus. You can also find me here on Mondays for America's Next Top Model and Monday Night Football, and Thursdays here for How to Get Away with Murder. Until next time, After Buzzers. Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Yeah, buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.